And amen. Boy, I'm thankful. I remember the day that the Lord called my name. Amen. What a blessing. And I hope you know that this morning. There's no better thing in your life. You'll never get no peace, no joy until you know that you know that you know that you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior this morning. And again, it's good to see all of you. I'm trying my best. The Lord's been this running my cup over with this thing this morning. And I'm trying my best to slow myself down because I'm really bad about sometimes when I want to get something out, I just go faster and faster and faster. I don't want to do that this morning. So we're trying to slow ourselves down. I appreciate the Word of God. I really do. I hope you read your Bible. I'm telling you, in the world that we live in, the day that we live in, people today, we've got so strung out on everything. We're so busy running to and fro. And we miss so much because we're not having that personal time with the Lord. And you got to pray, you got to read, so I want to encourage you to do that. I enjoy, you know, it's not always, you know, I don't always talk about the things that I've read and different things, but I enjoy when people come up and say, "Preacher, I'd like to show you something." I know Brother David called me this week, and I appreciate him doing that, and I enjoyed talking with him yesterday about some things that God had showed him in the Word of God about the stewardship of the Word and different things like that. Boy, what a blessing that was, and I got to share with him some things that one of my favorite messages that I ever preach, you know, they're all, not that I'm any good, but I enjoy preaching the Word of God, but I've enjoyed what the Lord shows me, and God has showed me so much through just some things in the Old Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find the Lord all the way through this book. He's not just a New Testament thing. He's from Genesis to Revelations. And I was telling Brother David, boy, I appreciate what the Lord showed me some more. I've got a message on Noah's Ark that just keeps growing and growing about things that God lets me see as he draws these pictures. And I saw something. Let me just share this, and we'll move this on this morning. We know that God told Noah to build that ark. And we know that God gave him details of how to build that ark and how long it was going to be and how high it would be and how wide it was going to be. And he told him to put a door. Boy, I appreciate that. There's only one door into the heaven. Amen. And he told him to put one door in that thing. And there's one window that's way above the things of this world, looking up to the Lord Jesus Christ there. But I thought about those measurements. And I know people have drawn it and all that stuff. People try to make what it is. But there's one thing that's pointed out to me this week that just struck to my heart about that door. He told Noah how wide to make that boat. He told Noah how tall to make that boat. And he told Noah how long to make that boat. But when he come to that door, he didn't tell him how big to make that door. Why? I believe because that door is big enough for every critter. And you're a critter. Hey, it was big enough for the giraffe to walk into. And it was big enough for the smallest worm to crawl through. That's a big door. And I believe you can see that God this morning is that door. And he's big enough for whoever you are this morning. And then I saw something. I remember when the Lord showed me this before. We know that ark had three levels, three stories. And I remember when I was looking way back there and I thought, boy, that ark, a picture of what God does, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, those three levels. Well, then I saw something this week that just even helped me even more. We know that ark was pitched on the outside to keep the things of that world from getting in. But it went further than that. He pitched it on the inside to keep us from getting back out. Amen. But not only does God save my soul. You go over to Thessalonians, he talks about there's a trinity of the man. There's a body, there's a soul, there's a spirit of man. And I believe you can see that God saves us all. Amen. Hey, I'm getting a new body one of these days. Hallelujah. So what a great picture there of the ark. So that's not the message of the day. I just wanted to share that with you. But here's the message of the day. Take your Bibles to Leviticus. Leviticus. One of those fun books of the Bible. Full of great things. And it really is. Book of Leviticus. We're going to look at a topic this morning that's bigger than I can tell you this morning. I can tell you that. And I sure don't understand all of it. I just know it's important. And I hope this morning we'll see the importance of it this morning. If you remember, I guess it was last Sunday morning. I think it was. I've slept a little between now and then, and just everything's a blur, it seems like. But, we preached on that theme, that 1 Corinthians there, chapter 18, the preaching of the cross. And we looked at how that's that theme all the way through the Bible and the importance of the cross there. We looked at that. And I want to look at another thought this morning. Our Brother Russell must have been right with the Lord today because he sung the right song this morning already. No, that's our little thing between us. But it's important. You mind the Lord, he'll put things in order. But we're going to look at another part of the Bible that I believe that you and I, and I'm afraid that our culture today is quickly abandoning what we're going to look at this morning. So let's stand together, Leviticus chapter 17. It'll make a little more sense, I hope, as we go. At least I pray it does. Here in Leviticus, God is laying out some things to the Hebrews about what they can do, what they can't do. And we see a great statement, a great fact here in Leviticus chapter 17. Look with me, verse number 11 this morning. The Bible says here in verse number 11, for the life of the flesh is in what? The blood. The blood. And I had to go to the doctor last week and they drew blood out of my arm, and many of you know how that is. They take you in there and they draw that blood out of your arm, and then they'll analyze it and they'll look at it and they'll call you if there's something bad they see, or they'll send you a piece of paper and let you know what they found. And in that blood, there's so much. I was thankful I didn't get the phone call. I got the letter this time, so that was a blessing. So I got to read that letter of all the things. I didn't understand half of what that meant, but she did write on there everything looked good, so I was thankful for that. But they draw that blood out, and inside that blood, there's things inside of that that keeps you moving. You bleed out, you don't live. And God lets us know that the life of the flesh, verse 11, is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So I know this morning physically that life is in the blood. You can't live without blood. You have to have it. But scripturally and spiritually this morning, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sin. So God tells us two facts here this morning, that there takes blood for physical life, but there also must be blood involved for spiritual life. Verse 12, therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. So again, God nails it down that the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. So we're going to look this morning, this fact this morning about the blood of Christ. So let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, again for the word of God. I pray once again, God, Lord, I sure don't want to missed the ball this morning, God. I don't want to, God, get in the way. I don't want to confuse. I don't want people to see me. But God, I sure want them to see this simple truth. But not just that it's a simple truth, but it's an amazing truth. And not just an amazing truth, but it's a needful truth. And God, I believe this morning, God, that you and I and we as believers this morning, we've got to understand the facts of the blood. And Lord, I just ask you again, God, to do what only you can do here this morning. God, I as I look across the room this morning, I know that the blood of flesh is at work this morning. God, men and women are standing or listening as we pray, even, and God, they're alive physically. But Lord, I don't know about the spiritual blood. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you'd help us today, God, just to draw closer to you and see the truth here of the Word of God. Be with our young people this morning, God, over in our children's churches. God, I pray that you'll bless there in a mighty way, Lord, and we sure will thank you for what you're going to do here for us in Christ's name, we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning, because you don't need to know what I think. we're going to run to where we say, hey, that's truth, and there's no doubt about it because it's in the Bible, and that's where truth is this morning. So we're going to look at a lot of things this morning. The blood of Christ, and I made the statement of our day. I'm afraid this morning, as you and I sit here at Gospel Light Baptist Church, as we try our best to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, there's churches all over this world this morning that have abandoned the fact of the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't want a bloody religion. They don't want to talk about the blood of what was shed there on Calvary. And if you don't have the blood, you don't have life physically. And if you don't have the life, you don't have the blood of Christ, you don't have spiritual life this morning. And that's what we want to look at. The blood this morning is spoken of over 400 times in our King James Bible. It's a thread that runs from Genesis to Revelations. You can see it over and over again as it references to not only physical life, but also what Christ did there on Calvary's cross and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. As we see here, that blood of Christ is essential to God's plan of salvation for the life, that atonement for the soul. So this morning we must understand this common goal, this common thread when it comes to what the blood represents. So we're going to look at some things this morning. If you want to, follow along with me this morning. Look with me in Ephesians. Our choir sung that very first song this morning. There's only in His blood this morning. I'm thankful for the blood. Amen. And I hope as we see some things this morning, you'll get a hold about the fact of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this before we read that. Now, this is simple out of an encyclopedia because I had no idea some of this stuff. This is what the encyclopedia said. The function of the blood is to carry life. This is physical. This is what your blood is doing right now. The function of the blood is to carry life to the rest of the body. Why? Because blood is where life is. So it's the blood. In your body right now, if you had a dipstick like your car had, we could pull it out and you should measure about 5 quarts of blood in your body. That's the pretty much common factor in man. So in those 5 quarts of blood as it flows through your body, and I thought this is pretty interesting, that the blood in your body is circulated throughout by your heart, of course, every 23 seconds. Your blood is circulated through your body. As the blood flows to that fixed part of your body, the cells, the muscle, the nerve, the gland, the bone, in different areas, that blood is delivering life, oxygen, and nutrients, and then it carries away all the bad things. So the blood physically this morning, and I want to almost shout and run right here because I know what I'm getting ready to say. The blood of your body this morning is delivering life physically. It's taking it to your muscles, it's taking it to your organs, it's taking it to every part of your body, and it's given life. As that same blood goes from the lungs, the heart, and it goes through your body as oxygenated blood, it goes to all those places throughout your body and gives that nutrients and that life. When it delivers what it has to give, it then turns from a deliverer of substance of life to a carrier or taking away of all the bad things that's in your body. So your blood this morning as it flows to your body, it's not only bringing life, but it's taking away all the filth and the trash that's in your body. What's so good about that? Guess what? This morning as I think about Jesus Christ, thank the Lord, there at Vacation Bible School in Harmony, North Carolina, as a 13-year-old boy, the blood of Jesus Christ came to me, and guess what it brought? It brought life. But not only did that blood bring life, it took away something else. It takes away my sin, hallelujah, and all the filth. Preacher, you're not perfect. Oh no, that blood's continually flowing. That blood, I'm saved one time, amen. I'm saved to the uttermost. I ain't ever going to have to be saved again. That blood is flowing from the throne room of God, I believe, this morning. And it gives me life, but it also takes away all the sins of my life. That's the reason it talks about there in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. Oh, thank God for the cleansing power of the blood. See, your body physically this morning, as those every 23 seconds, as that blood is pumped through your system, it's delivering life, but it's also taking away all the filth. And this morning, spiritually, this morning, I have life through the blood. But not only do I have life, I have forgiveness. I have cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I see that this morning. So it's taken away. I thought this was pretty interesting. There are types of blood cells and activities in the blood. One, two, three, four. Guess how many? Now, I don't think these are accidents. I don't think these are happenstance, but I think it's pretty amazing. There's five. Five different makeups that I read about the blood. The blood's made up of what we call plasma. That plasma is a fluid solution that acts as a vehicle for the blood cell. I'm glad this morning, I know that God this morning has a vehicle for the blood. Amen. And so, amen. Then there's broke down into platelets, and that's a thin, again, this is what I read, a thin, transparent, oval-shaped cell whose function is associated with the process of blood clotting. Oh, I'm glad this morning God can plug up some things in my life. Then there's red blood cells, and I thought this is pretty interesting. You can't imagine this, but there's 5 million red blood cells per cubic millimeter in your body. Right now. Ain't that amazing? They carry the fuel to the tissues in your body. Then there's white blood cells, and it says there's 6,000. I don't know who counted all these. Guy was bored, I guess. 6,000 per cubic millimeter, and they help defend against the body infections. And there's antibodies in your blood, and they're produced in response to the infections to prevent future infections. So we see this morning that there's a lot of makeup in the physical blood that you and I have this morning. And I'm afraid we get in here and we sing about the blood. We preach about the blood. And I know this morning that as complex as our body is this morning, as I think about all that's going on inside of me right now, as my heart's pumping and that blood's flowing and all that's taking place, and God made every bit of it. And we look at it in awe of how, 5 million red blood cells per cubic millimeter. You know how big a millimeter is? It ain't real big. And inside a cubic millimeter, there's 5 million red blood cells. So they say. What if it's just 4 million? That's still a lot. And we look at that in awe of the complexity of the human body and what makes it work and what keeps it well. And we all know that when it ain't right, we want it fixed. If we put so much thought into the complexity of the physical body and the blood that makes up our body. Listen, blood's important. I guarantee you this morning, if you're bleeding out, you want it stopped. You want it to quit. Why? Because you know that blood is important physically. But this morning, as we think about the spiritual aspect of that, how much greater do you think? How much more complex do you think this morning that the blood of Jesus Christ must be? And we take it so nonchalant. We take it without even much thought about it this morning. But we need to understand when Jesus Christ went to Calvary and He laid Himself upon that cross and they nailed His hands and His feet to that cross and they stood that cross up between the heavens and the earth and He cried out, "It is finished." There was a lot of things that took place that very second that most people never even think about when it comes to the thoughts of the blood of Jesus Christ. So this morning, Jesus Christ also, as the body physically, that blood is taking effect, the blood of Jesus Christ this morning is also working. It's the ones that keeps us clean. It's the one that gives us life. It's the ones that keeps us going. So this morning, we want to look at that fact about the blood. Let's look back over here in Ephesians real quickly. Ephesians chapter 3, look with me this morning. Or chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 1. Look at verse number 3 this morning. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherewith He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasures which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth. See the flow? The gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And I know that, boy, that's a lot of verses. But if you'll slow down and you look at all that's taking place as Christ is delivering what he has done and what he will do in our life, it's all by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's all through the workings of Christ. So it's very complex. It's very important that we understand the blood. Look also here in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. So this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ is so important. We must understand, as much physical this morning as blood is in our life, we must understand that there's a working of that blood that must be understood. Now I want to look this morning real quickly. Look with me. There's two places I want to show you something interesting I found about the blood, and then I'll show you what we're going to look at. Look in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, put your finger there, and then I want you to find this other place. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. There's two cases of blood mentioned here that I want us to look at. And I wanted to draw out some facts about this blood this morning. Genesis chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 12. We read this, you set out to read your Bible, you jump over in Genesis and you begin reading and you read this account, and we run through it, and I believe that we fail to, and we miss a lot of the small things, and I'm not saying this is a small thing, but it's just what draws our mind this morning. Look here in Genesis chapter 4, look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And as me and Brother Dave was talking about yesterday a little bit, verse number 3 is very interesting. It says, and in the process of time. I don't know what that means, but God said it was in there. Over a period of time, a process, a working. I didn't get saved the first time I heard about Jesus either. You might be here this morning and say, I know Jesus. He died for my sins, but you might not know him really. But in a process of time. Verse 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought a fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And verse 4 says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And again, we preached this a few Sundays ago now, talking about God's not a God of goodwill. God is not a goodwill store. God just don't take everything. And here God accepted Abel's, and he refused Cain's. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt shalt rule over him. This morning, just because you've tried for 20 years to live right, and you've never got saved, doesn't mean you ought to get mad at God because he didn't save you. You ought to get right with God this morning, trust the Lord as your Savior, and do it the right way. Verse 8 says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So we see here the very first account of murder in the Bible. There's a lot in there I don't know. I don't know what the conversation was that day in the field. I don't know why Cain rose up and killed his brother. I don't understand all that, but I know it's true. Verse 9 says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother?" God asked his daddy the same question. "Adam, where art thou?" You think God didn't know what had happened? I'm sure he did. "And the Lord said unto Cain," verse 9, "where is Abel thy brother?" And here's Cain, and he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Verse 10, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." So here we see a picture of physical blood. And this blood here in Genesis chapter 4, not only did Cain rise up and kill Abel, and as he killed Abel, the blood from Abel flowed from his body out upon the ground, and Abel died. Now, I don't know what Cain did. I don't know if he buried him. I don't know if he hid him. I don't know. But I do know that the blood that was shed from Abel's body was doing something. And again, notice there, verse number 10, he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood," notice the terminology, "crieth unto me." The blood of Abel, that physical blood, the Bible said was crying. And I thought, wonder what that blood was crying. What was that blood saying? Let me show you this. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 24. Genesis chapter 4, we see Cain killing his brother, and his blood is crying out. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 24. "And to Jesus," we're not looking at Abel, we're looking to Jesus. "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the," what? "Blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of," who? "Abel." Do you see anything between the two? Genesis chapter 4, we see the blood of Abel was what? Crying out. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, God talks about Jesus, that one and only mediator, and to the blood of sprinkling that, what? Speaks. That speaketh. So this morning, blood this morning either is crying as Abel's, or we see the blood of Christ that speaks. So preacher, what are you talking about? I hope it'll make a little more sense as we go. I want us to look at this blood this morning. First of all, the thing that I noticed most of all is the difference of the two bloods as far as what they were doing. Abel's did what? It was crying. Crying out. And this morning, I just want to ponder the thought in your mind a little bit this morning as we look at these two instances. The one blood, the blood of man, the blood of Abel, was crying out. When you think about the thought of crying out, when you think about that crieth, we won't take time to look over there, but you look in Luke chapter 16, you look at the rich man there that went to hell. You know what he was doing? The Bible says he was crying out. Here in Genesis chapter 4, this blood of Abel is crying out unto God. That thought of crying is that sense of despair, that hopelessness, that guilt. See, Abel's blood was crying out. But then we see here in Hebrews chapter 12 that the blood of Christ is not crying. It's not out in despair. You get somebody that's in trouble. You get somebody put in a corner. You get somebody in the physical sense and back them into that wall. They'll cry out in despair. They'll cry out in the anticipation. So the thought of crying is a thought of despair and a thought of an anxiety of to the place of uncontrollable. But then you see that the blood of Christ is not crying. The blood of Christ is speaking. When you look at the opposites of those two, that thought of speaking, I believe, if you go over there to 1 Kings chapter 19, boy, I love that thought of Elijah. We know how Elijah was up there in the mountains. He was running away from where he's supposed to be in, basically. And we know he went out there and God says, come here, I want to show you something. We know how he sent the winds and the fire and all that different things. And he says there that God wasn't in those things. Those are dramatical things. Those are things that are out of control type things. But Elijah understood that he saw God in a still, small voice. See, the blood of Abel was crying. The blood of Christ is speaking. That thought of speaking is one that's in authority. That one of speaking is one that's in control. In John chapter 10, boy, I love the picture there. John chapter 10, as you look at Christ, that great shepherd. And how we know there, if we took time to go read John chapter 10, how that shepherd knows our name and he speaks to us and we know his voice. So this morning, when you look at the thoughts of blood, this morning the blood of Abel was crying out. But the blood of Christ is in authority and in control and is speaking in a desirable way this morning. There's also something else about blood that's very interesting. We won't take time to read all this, but we know today in our society that man, through knowledge, I believe, has obtained the ability of what we know as DNA. DNA is nothing new. But today, man is able to take blood and break blood down into the components that it is, and they can get your DNA, and they can find who your daddy is and those kind of things. That lineage will run through that. But even in this blood that I see here this morning that we're looking at, the two bloods, the blood of Abel and the blood of Christ, the blood that cries, the blood that speaks. I see also that there is DNA, and we know that Abel's blood, his DNA runs back to where? Adam, that first Adam. Christ's blood runs to what? To God. Christ being that second Adam. I do want to take time to look at this with that thought. Look in Romans chapter 5 this morning. Let me read this as quick as I can. Most of us know these verses. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, how? By his blood. We shall be saved. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in whom we now have received the atonement. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but the sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had no sin, had not sinned after Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offenses might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, a lot of verses. But inside those verses is exactly what we're trying to see. See, that blood, that DNA of Abel, it draws us back all the way to Adam. And God shows us by the blood of Adam that sin has passed down to all men. And this morning, that same blood that cried out there on the ground to God out of Abel's body is the same blood that runs through your veins every 23 seconds, bringing life to your body and taking away the effects of the inside of your body. And that same blood that it talks about draws our DNA all the way back to that first Adam. And how because of what Adam did in the garden, because Adam disobeyed, and because of the sin of Adam, the Bible tells us that that same sin has been passed down. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that blood this morning that cried out to God is the same blood that runs through my veins. And it has that DNA of Adam. But then there's that blood that speaks. That blood was perfect blood. That blood was the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. That's the blood that flowed out of the body of Christ. That blood did not come through first Adam. See, it's so important. It's amazing today. Churches are voting on if they believe in the virgin birth. Fooey on a crowd like that. Jesus Christ, we know that came through that womb of that virgin, how God overshadowed Mary and how she conceived a child, not knowing a man. Preacher, do you really believe that? Oh, yes, I do. And if you're saved this morning, you better believe it too. But today, most people are trying to figure this thing out, try to get it right in their minds, make it where they can get a hold of it. And that makes no sense. But I know it's true. Not on what I think, not on what some man showed me, but because God told me through this precious book. So we see that one blood of Abel, it cries out. That representing that first Adam. But the blood of Christ speaks. That's the blood that flows on Calvary. So what did that blood cry? I believe, first of all, that blood probably cried out for justice. I believe that blood cried out on the ground because of a murder. I believe that blood cried out because of what had taken place. I believe it cried out for mercy, for help, for sin, for hopelessness, for guilt. That blood of Abel, as it laid there in the ground, was crying out to God. But then we look at that blood, that precious blood this morning. I don't have time to preach this. Just let me give it to you. What does that blood speak? Well, I'm glad the day it spoke to me. I'm glad of the day how it still speaks today. Let me give you this. I ain't got time to even give you all the verses, but let me give it to you. I believe, first of all, that blood of Abel, as it cries out for mercy. It cries out for hope or help. See, that was sinless, or that was sin blood. That was the blood of Adam. And oh, how it cried. Let me say this. I jotted this down. I thought about it as the choir was singing. Again, Abel's blood cried. The Bible tells us there in Hebrews that blood speaks. I thought about the cross. I didn't have time to go run this, but I'm just going to go out on my cuff and you can tell me later if I'm wrong. What did Christ do on Calvary? He cried out. And I got to thinking, I wonder, I'm just trying to put some things in my mind as that blood of Abel cries. And I know the blood of Christ speaks. But at that moment, at that time on Calvary's cross, Christ cried. Oh, why? I believe because he at that place and time bore the sin of this world. He held all that that had to be paid for you and I. And I see the man side of Christ as it cries out, just as Abel's blood cried out. But we know Christ's blood is perfect, sinless, and it's the one that speaks. Now, what does it speak? First of all, John 3:16, boy, I'm telling you, it speaks love. The blood of Christ, the blood that came off of Calvary, that blood speaks not of crying out of despair, but it speaks love. Boy, I'm thankful for the day that Jesus Christ spoke to me in a loving way like nobody else had ever spoke. That blood speaks of love. Second of all, that blood speaks with purpose. Jesus Christ didn't happenstance. Jesus Christ just didn't on a whim come to this world. Jesus Christ on purpose came to die. His eyes were set as a flint, the Bible says. He was going to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins. That's what the blood does. It speaks. It speaks on purpose. It speaks of suffering. Revelation 5:9 says they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." That blood that speaks this morning speaks of the price that was paid for our sins. It speaks of substitution. John 1:29, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, what a picture of that moment of when God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. That lamb had to die. That blood had to be spread upon the doorpost. And when the death angel came by, he passed by where the blood was. See, that blood speaks of a substitution. It speaks of redemption. It speaks of cleansing. Physical blood cleans our body. It takes those things that are bad and runs it through our system. And 1 John 1:7 says, "We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins." Boy, I like this one. What does that blood speak of? It speaks of access. This morning, there's a lot of places in this world I cannot go. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, it speaks of access. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus Christ." See, the blood is what gives access this morning. Oh, this morning it speaks of peace. Colossians 1:20, "Having made peace through the blood of the cross." And boy, last of all, this morning it speaks of heaven. Revelation 7:14-15 says, "These are they which was washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." See, this morning, and I'll close with this. I know we've rushed through the last part, but I wanted to get you out of here. This morning, that blood of Abel is still crying. This morning, as you sit here in this place, is that blood crying just as Abel's did out for mercy? Is it crying out in despair? Is there something inside of you that just knows that there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no comfort? See, your blood's crying out. But it's just as much as I know that our blood is crying out, I'm thankful right now that the blood of Christ is speaking, saying, "Would you come? Would you come?" This morning, are you going to let your blood flow and cry out in despair? Or would you come and get under the fountain, the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away the sins of the world? His blood speaks. Abel's blood cried. This morning, would you let God speak to your heart this morning? Would you hear the speaking of the Holy Ghost as he speaks to you this morning about what God has done and what God will do? Oh, I'm thankful, no, I'm saved. Boy, I took the time to read those verses and study and think about all those things. And as I stand here this morning, still wicked and vile and, boy, just an old ungodly being because of Adam's blood, but because of the speaking of Christ through the blood of Calvary, oh, how it's brought joy and peace and comfort, stability and access. This morning, do you know Jesus? That's the question. Is your blood crying out this morning? Christ will speak if you let him. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.